And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
This week we catch up with Asa Pegler about their journey into film writing. What script have I got?
You've got the previous one. We changed that. We're doing Queer Street, aren't we?
We are doing Queer Street.
Plus, there was an awful lot went on yesterday with the Supreme Court ruling. We've got facts, feelings, and all kinds of things we'll be talking about later. This is going to be a day in history, remember, as well. So, all coming today right here on Shout Out.
Andy, we know. You did it just so that the lovely Asa got another mention.
No.
And that's fine. Everyone go watch this film.
To be fair, because of what happened yesterday, like, even though I was at work at the time, and I phoned Steph and I said, you know, look, actually, I think what we've got in the show, as good as it is, we really need to dedicate some time to what happened yesterday. Yeah. So between the two of us, we completely rewrote the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I say two, three, because you've recorded a Queer Street in an hour for us. So we've never done that before. So that's, and the only thing I forgot was the entry to the show. And I thought,
wow, Steph.
I was on autopilot.
I know, yeah.
We just wanted you to improv it.
Yeah.
So on the spot, get there.
I'm stunned still.
Yes, I can't say I blame you. We got a huge, great bit at the end to talk about it, and we'll go through what's happened and what the ramifications are and what our feelings are, etc.
Just so people know, because this is quite a serious convo that we're going to be having for this show, can we go around the room and just identify ourselves? So, Andy.
Hello.
Hello, Andy.
Do you mean pronouns? And
yes,
name?
Pronouns and your sexuality or gender.
All right.
If
okay.
You want to.
Well, I'm a he him, and I'm gay and married for a long time.
Okay, Terry.
Well, I was assigned male at birth, and I still consider myself to be male, so I'm he him. I'm a disabled older gay man.
I'm a Darren. I would say my pronouns are she and her, and I identify as a lesbian.
I don't know what day it is, but I know that I am Ezra. I am non-binary, they, them, she, her, and also identify as trans.
I'm Steffi Barnett. I'm a trans woman.
So now that's an interesting one, non-binary and trans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that explained to me because when I first heard that, I couldn't grasp, that even though I'm trans, I couldn't grasp that non-binary could be trans.
Yeah, so
but
being non-binary
Ez
is more,
great,
than, more
yeah,
than the skin you're in.
Indeed, and you explained it really well.
Yeah, so you can be born, you can feel that you've been born in the wrong body. That's the first thing. But the way I explained it to Steph a long while ago, I think, was if I was born male, I could still be non-binary. So the only difference is that I identify as trans because I was born in the wrong body. That's how I feel. But I don't identify with a specific gender because I feel that I don't fit in either bracket.
And I have to say, I love the abbreviation of NB too. I think
NB.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
The hip-hop slang version. Yeah. NB. Yeah.
I actually made a joke once that would be my DJ name. If ever that would happen.
NB.
Yeah, DJ NB.
Yeah, great. So, yeah.
And she's hiding in the background, but lovely Tara's here as well. Yeah. Who'll be on mic with us.
Tara
later.
Is a trans woman. And she, her, Tara?
Yep.
So yep, still yep. She, her.
So I had this conversation right back at the start when Shout Out first was on air, and I can remember my cohort at the time turning around and saying, what do you call your other half? I call my wifey. And we got in big trouble for that. But this
oh,
was
really?
Before marriage equality. She got home and her other half was like, how dare you call me wifey?
On the radio.
On the radio.
It's
and
a she term of around, endearment, I
she,
swear.
And she turned around to me on air and she said, what do you call your other half? I went, oi, you. You. And I got home and Carl was not happy either.
I refer to myself to Steph as her wovband because I'm non-binary, so I can't be a wife or a husband. They're both. Wovband has been born.
Mm. So, or you could do like an old Western, say, partner, which I love. I love when straight people do that. My partner, I look at them like, You didn't really?
What do we mean?
Saloon doors are opening?
Like? Well, I wonder if that's because you get to a certain age where people feel strange saying boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah,
when they get to like 25, 30, then they start...
They think they're too mature to have that.
Me other half.
Yeah.
But you know, it's Lizzie's
the ball and chain.
When I first came out, I mean, it was 1996 and I was 18. And I love the thought of having a boyfriend and calling him a boyfriend. But the thought of calling someone a husband was just like weird. Because, of course, we didn't have marriage equality. No. So there were no blokes calling other blokes husbands. And you kind of, as a teenager, boyfriend, girlfriend was kind of a thing. And I can still remember thinking, oh, I'd never have a husband. That'd be weird.
One of the founders,
and now I've been married for nine years.
One of the founders of this programme, Mary Milton, was actually the first, her marriage was the first lesbian marriage in Bristol, registered in Bristol, you see.
It was.
And we went along there, and the registrar said, you may now kiss the...
I now pronounce you husband and wife, didn't he?
That's right.
And we all thought it was absolutely hilarious. And the registrar was like,
mortified.
If you knew how many times we practiced to make sure we got this right, and I still it wrong on the first wedding I'm doing.
But everyone laughed. Everyone took it in good humour. Anyway,
we will be talking a little bit later on about all the goings on. But in the meantime, thanks to our lovely NB over there, we're going to find out a bit about the trans flag. This is Queerstory.
Hello and welcome to Queerstory. Today's episode is focusing on the trans community and the trans flag, its history and its enduring power. There is so much going on in the world, and so many of us are feeling overwhelmed, deeply saddened, angry and confused at how so much hatred can be pouring its way into countries where there was once what felt like progression, love and inclusivity. Now it feels more divisive than ever, with the recent decision made in Scotland, which will impact the rest of the UK, but not Northern Ireland, to attempt to erase trans women, specifically women, who have a gender recognition certificate. The community as a whole is suffering, and it's mainly down to cis heteronormative women who have no lived experience of what it's like to be within the LGBTQIA+ community, yet have made changes that will undoubtedly cause harm to one of the most vulnerable and marginalised communities. As anti-trans sentiments intensify across so many parts of the world, understanding the history and meaning of the trans flag is more important than ever. It's a symbol of pride and it's a living declaration. Trans people exist, we have always existed, and we will never be erased. In a world where visibility can often feel like a double-edged sword, symbols of identity offer hope, unity, and resistance. For trans people, the trans flag has become just such a symbol, a banner under which countless individuals find community, affirmation and strength. The trans flag was created in 1999 by Monica Helms, a trans woman activist and Navy veteran living in the USA. In a time when trans visibility was still rare and often dangerous, Helms recognised a pressing need for a symbol that could unify and represent the trans community. Before the trans flag existed, trans people had very few visual emblems of their identity that were widely recognised. Pride events, while increasingly inclusive of trans people in theory, often centred gay and lesbian experiences, with trans issues taking a back seat. Helms wanted a flag that would be instantly recognisable, simple and meaningful, a flag that could fly with dignity at pride events on social media profiles and from the windows of homes and organisations that stood in solidarity with trans people. Her design consists of 5 horizontal stripes, 2 light blue, 2 pink and 1 white in the centre. Each colour has deep significance. The light blue represents the traditional colour for boys, pink is the traditional colour for girls, white stands for those who are intersex, transitioning or identify outside the gender binary. The Trans Pride flag is more than just stripes of blue, pink and white. It is a lifeline, a map, a battle cry. Its history is young, but the spirit behind it is ancient, woven into the long story of human existence and identity. The flag represents not just a group of people, but a movement, a refusal to be silent, a refusal to be erased. In the first two decades of the 21st century saw the rise of trans visibility. The years that followed have been marked by a duality, incredible progress met with increasing backlash. In this context, the flag's role has grown beyond identity. It is now a symbol of resistance, resilience, and global solidarity, and it will continue to be essential in the long fight ahead. To understand the deeper meaning of the trans flag today, we must understand the resilience of the trans community, especially in the face of relentless systemic violence. Trans people, particularly black and brown trans women, are disproportionately affected by hate crimes, housing insecurity, healthcare discrimination, unemployment, and police brutality. Despite this, trans communities have consistently organised, supported one another, and built systems of care that exist outside mainstream institutions. When the world turns its back, trans people turn to each other. In the absence of adequate mental health care, trans therapists, peer support groups, and online networks have stepped in. When gender-affirming healthcare is denied, trans-led clinics and mutual aid funds provide access. When politicians speak lies, trans people speak truth to each other, to their communities, and to the world. And throughout it all, the flag flies. In some of the darkest moments at funerals, vigils and protests, the trans flag has been present. It's draped over coffins, it's painted on sidewalks, it's wrapped around shoulders, it's turned into shields, capes and banners. And it's a way of saying, you cannot kill us all, you cannot scare us into hiding, we will still be here and we will still be us. The resilience is not born of individual strength alone, it is rooted in collective care, an ethic of survival passed down through generations of queer and trans ancestors who had to create family when theirs rejected them, who had to imagine freedom when the world only offered cages. Although Monica Helms created the flag in the US, its reach has gone far beyond national borders. Today, the trans flag flies in dozens of countries where trans people are fighting for their lives, their rights and their dignity. In Brazil, one of the most dangerous countries in the world to be trans, activists like Eric Malunkujo and Indianare Siqueira have brought the flag into politics and public housing movements. Brazil's trans community, facing horrific levels of violence, shows extraordinary courage by continuing to march, organise and demand justice, often literally risking their lives to do so. In India, following a landmark Supreme Court decision in 2014 that legally recognised a third gender, trans people, often referred to as Hijra, depending on religion and tradition, have used the flag in both pride events and legal battles for education, healthcare and employment equality. The flag merges with ancient cultural traditions, showing that trans identity is not a Western invention, it is a global, timeless truth. In Uganda, Poland, Russia and other countries where being openly trans is criminalised or violently suppressed, the flag has taken on a different kind of meaning, that there is a symbol of hope and defiance within it. To own a trans flag in such places is a quiet revolution. It might be hidden under a mattress, it might be drawn in a notebook, it might be worn as a hidden pin. The danger is real, but so is the pride. Online, the flag creates international solidarity. In social media posts, Zoom calls and community forums, the colours of the trans flag connect people across oceans. Trans people in vastly different contexts see themselves reflected in each other. That global sense of shared struggle and celebration is a powerful thing, and it's growing all the time. Trans people are not just surviving. They're thriving, they're creating. Art, music, literature and film have become essential mediums for trans people to express themselves, to tell their stories and challenge the narratives imposed on them. The trans flag often appears in this art, not just as backgrounds, but as an integral part of the message. In murals across big cities, the trans flag wraps around entire buildings. In films and media, we're seeing more trans characters wearing or displaying the flag, not just as a sign of identity, but of power. Artists like Chela Mann, Julia Huxtable, Alok Vaid Manon, Kay Tempest, Dorian Electra and so many others incorporate the trans flag into performance, poetry and visual work. Their creations often ask the same questions the flag answers. What does it mean to become yourself? The flag gives language to that becoming. It marks the moment someone says, "This is me," for the first time. It celebrates names, pronouns, surgeries, hormones, and the beauty there is in fluidity. It honours non-binary identities, intersex bodies, and trans people who live outside the gender binary completely. The white stripe in the middle of the flag is not empty, it is expansive, for it makes room for all the ways to be trans. It's important to recognise that while the trans flag represents a powerful shared identity, the experiences of trans people are not monolithic. Race, class, disability, religion, immigration status, and other aspects of identity shape how trans people move through this world. Black trans women, for example, face significantly higher rates of violence than white trans people. Trans people of colour are more likely to be profiled by police, denied housing, and excluded from employment opportunities. Trans disabled people often face compounded inaccessibility in both the healthcare system and in an activist space. Trans immigrants are at a higher risk of detention and deportation, especially in countries where legal recognition is tied to citizenship. The trans flag must be understood in the context of this intersectionality. It cannot be a symbol only for those who are already safe. It must stand for those who are most at risk. That's why many trans activists emphasise the need to centre the most marginalised in our movements. When the trans flag flies, it must fly in solidarity with all oppressed people. It must fly for those in cages, those on the streets, those in exile, and those who have been silenced. And in many ways, it does. We see it in Black Lives Matter protests, at Indigenous sovereignty marches, at climate justice events, and at disability rights rallies. The trans flag, like trans people themselves, is not separate from these struggles. It's part of them. One of the clearest signs of the trans flag's growing influence is its adoption by institutions. In recent years, we've seen government buildings light up with trans flag colours, schools raising the flag during Trans Awareness Week, and businesses incorporating it into their logos. But this visibility must be matched with action. Symbolism without systemic change is empty. If a school flies the trans flag but punishes students for using chosen names, that's just not allyship. If a business sells trans-themed merchandise but underpays its trans employees, it's exploitation. True allyship means more than waving a flag. It means fighting for the people behind it. That includes hiring trans people, protecting them from discrimination, advocating for healthcare access, respecting names and pronouns, and amplifying trans voices, especially those from marginalised communities within the community. The flag is a start. The real work comes next. It feels like what matters most right now is that the meaning behind the flag continues to grow, that it continues to serve those who need it most. Let the flag be more than a symbol. Let it be a tool, a warning, a song, a sanctuary. Let it be sewn into the clothes, let it be inked into skin, let it be raised at every march and whispered in every act of care. Let it fly on days of mourning, let it dance on days of joy, and let it always remind us of this. Trans people will not be erased, not by laws, not by violence, not by shame. We will remember each other's names. We will build each other's homes and safe spaces. We will find each other in the dark, and we will keep on keeping on. We will continue within our becoming, because trans people are not a trend. We are not a mental illness. We are not a contagion. We are beautiful and we matter, and we will keep going, no matter what and no matter who tries to tell us that we do not exist. We are here doing literally that, existing, breathing, loving and fighting. We are a community, a history, a future, and the flag, the trans flag, our flag, will fly as long as we do. Before I bring this episode to a close, I know that there are so many people listening who will be struggling. Please know there will always be somebody somewhere who cares and who wants to listen. Support services such as the Beaumont Society, a national 24-hour helpline, available on 01582 412 220. There's Gender Intelligence, who have their own websites. There's the LGBT Helpline Scotland, 0800 464 7000. LGBT Youth Scotland, www.lgbtyouth.org.uk. And Mindline Trans, 0300 330 5468. And lastly, there's Switchboard. Their phone number is 0800 011 9100. You can also email them hello@switchboard.lgbt and you can live chat with them as well. Wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with, whether you're in company or alone, know that there will always be somebody who wants to listen because they care. And that brings me to the end of this queer story.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Ghost by Sefi, I think that's how you pronounce it. S-E-F-I. That was submitted.
Very moody. Yeah.
Spooky.
Spooky indeed.
Yeah. We get lots of submissions. Anyone it's nice, nice to get them. A lot of them not great. That one was really good. So we thought we'd play that.
not trying to be mean or anything, but guys, some of yours.
We have had some real corkers.
And
yes, we have had some real corkers. I can't really hear myself. Is that because I've got a cold or...
Is that better?
Yes, thank you, Andy.
Oh, look, get me.
There we go. Adjusting levels on air.
I know, it's the Ezra show. Oh, well, yeah, sorry.
Not today. Mm-hmm. No, not today. Yeah, but,
don't pass.
No.
Just
why? I've had about 5 hours sleep in 2 days. Why would you do this to me?
leave him alone.
Yeah. I'm on my second packet of cough sweets since being here.
I thought you were going to say Pro Plus.
Oh, no. No. No caffeine for me.
So the best one, in fact, we must do it one day with you reading the news, but it's not quite such a serious one, where you eat those super sours.
Oh,
while
my
you
word.
Do it.
That would really hurt my face, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah, we did it on Christmas. We made you eat donuts, didn't we?
Donuts, yeah, it was in the news. Yes, and but it was all celebrity news.
And then we did one in Plari, which just was incomprehensible.
Yeah,
and we did one in Pirate.
all for different occasions.
Yeah. So. Were you just rolling your R's? Is that what that
it
was?
It was a bit like that. I can't remember who did it.
Did you put parrot noises in the background?
I know Martin Spilacy did the one in Polari.
I think he did, yeah.
I think it was Mitch, wasn't it?
It might have been
the pirate one, yeah.
But that's natural for me.
Well, I was about to say, that's just your accent.
Yeah. And it's the patch, isn't it? And the parrot on the shoulder.
Right, welcome to Shout Out News. Sorry, it's not quite
but
that
Steph, Steph does shout out in an American way. Shout out.
Shout out.
I don't know why, because you're so Bristolian with everything else.
Well, I actually think it sounds a bit Cockney.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
shout out.
And you are from, well, your family are from the East End.
East End, yeah.
I mean, there is absolutely no hint of it in your accent, other than when you say
well,
shout out.
Well, they left there a while ago, their parents were Irish and French and Jewish Polish.
Yes.
So, bunch of mongrels, really, we are now.
Well, okay.
So, really, you should just be able to do all those accents that you just listed, then.
I wish I could speak Polish and fluent French. And
in your best English pronunciation, do you think you could give us some news?
Me?
Yes.
No.
Oh. Okay. That's it, then.
As you're on your own again.
I'm not doing the news.
Here we go.
You, Terry.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. I'm sure you're probably aware. Sky News reports that the Supreme Court, the highest civil court in the country, has ruled that woman in UK law refers to biological sex in a landmark decision that has been celebrated by anti-transgender extremist groups but criticised by trans campaigners. Trans people have been used as a, quote, political punching bag, the co-founder of Trans Actual has said. Speaking to Sky's Saima Moonshane, Shay Brown questioned whether the gender recognition certificate he had was now worthless. Over the last 5 years, trans people have been used as a punching bag, Brown said. One trans organisation wanted to intervene in the court case, but it was denied, and yet several organisations from the other side of the debate were allowed to intervene. Sky News notes that fixated anti-transgender millionaire Joanne Rowling, author of the posh series of Harry Potter novels, poured significant sums of money into this court case. Brown added, trans people were not heard in the court. A group of LGBT plus organisations say they're deeply concerned at the, quote, widespread harmful implications of the ruling. As LGBT organisations around the country, we stand in solidarity with trans, intersex and non-binary folk as we navigate from here, says Consortium, which includes more than 700 member groups and networks across the UK. They went on, we need to take the time to digest the full implications of the ruling and to understand what this will mean on both legal and practical levels, and we'll say more of this over the coming weeks. Consortium also says that it will now work across the LGBT plus sector and with other organisations to, quote, provide as much clarity as soon as is practicable. Now, a small number of lesbian women had been supporting the anti-trans narrative in Britain, which has been called Turf Island by Continentals due to the toxic debate over here. Those lesbians that had taken such controversial action as to trample over rainbow flags at London Pride have now been brought down to earth with a bump. A tiny minority of feminist women were duped by Rowling and others, said one gay man. They will live to regret this as the enemies of trans women come for lesbian women next. Echoing this, a speaker on Channel 4 News said that she was looking forward to the legalistic twistedness that heterosexual feminists will now subject other cisgender women to in a crusade for politically correct femininity. She claimed that masculine-identified lesbians, intersex people, and women on chemotherapy with no scalp hair had already been harassed by anti-trans feminists. ITV News reported that the judge's decision is set to have major consequences for trans people and for who can access women-only spaces such as female-only hospital wards, prisons and refuges. The Scottish Government noted the Supreme Court rightly counselled against reading this judgment as a triumph of one or more groups in our society at the expense of another. It is not, the government said. The ruling gives clarity between two pieces of relevant legislation passed at Westminster. The Scottish Government will now engage on the implications of the ruling. Promoting the rights of all will underpin our actions. In a statement issued to Pink News, the Stonewall CEO, Simon Blake, OBE, said Stonewall shares the deep concern at the widespread implications for today's ruling for the Supreme Court. It will be incredibly worrying for the trans community and all of us who support them. Stonewall continued, it's important to be reminded that the court strongly and clearly reaffirmed the principles of the Equality Act, which protects all trans people against discrimination based on gender reassignment, and it will continue to do so. Once we read and fully digest the judgment, we will work with stakeholders across all sectors to provide as much clarity as possible, he said. Writing on her Instagram, the model and trans activist Munro Bergdorf said, we will get through this together. I am spending the next few days listening to and speaking with legal experts about how this will impact the future of our community in the UK. Scottish Trans, a group supporting trans folks in the devolved nation, urged people not to panic on its Blue Sky account. There will be lots of commentary coming out quickly that is likely to deliberately overstate the impact that this decision is going to have on all trans people's lives, the group wrote. We'll say more as soon as we're able to, but please look out for yourselves and each other. Gendered Intelligence released a statement on Wednesday evening, also urging people not to panic from the brouhaha encouraged by certain right-wing feminists. They said, the court has ruled that women's rights based on sex do not include trans women. This judgment does not change the legal protections trans people do have against discrimination and harassment on the basis of gender reassignment. It also does not mean trans people can or should be regularly excluded from women's services and spaces. The law and common sense, they said, still says that trans people should not be excluded without a proportionate and legitimate reason. It's unclear right now exactly how this judgment might affect trans lives. Gender Intelligence went on, trans women could be excluded from equal pay assessments, and there could be implications for service providers and institutions such as rape crisis centres, domestic abuse support services and sports clubs. There could also be consequences for intersex people who do not fit into the binary categories of biological sex. However, it is too early to say how service providers and the government will interpret this judgment. Ultimately, people who want to exclude trans women from services and institutions will likely feel empowered to do so, but services and institutions that want to include trans women will not be restricted from including them. There have been some claims in the press and on social media about widespread exclusion of trans women or having to show a gender recognition certificate to use women's services or spaces. This is not the case, said Gender Intelligence. We cannot say how this judgment might influence policies or guidance in future, but we can say with certainty that it will not stop trans people from being themselves and living their lives. The rights of cisgender and transgender women are actually fundamentally linked, and we know that the majority of people want to work together and help each other. We encourage everyone to look past the despair at this judgment and the divisive responses to it, and to continue to live and work together in solidarity and community. Well, there's a lot of fear and uncertainty in the community right now, and we are feeling it too. If you'd like to talk to someone, please do reach out. On that note, and as a responsible community broadcaster, Shout Out joins the Good Law Project in making these points. At a time when anti-trans discrimination is rife and hate crime has reached record levels, it's important to know that there is support out there for trans, non-binary and gender-questioning individuals and their loved ones. Now, the Good Law Project has published a list of charities operating within this field and who offer kindness, counselling and support in the coming days. You can find them online at goodlawproject.org to view them. And don't forget as well, our friends at Trans Radio UK operate Truck Listens, a listening service every evening. Do visit their website for more information. And on a lighter note, probably this week, our secret is out. The real reason why there are so many gay men and lesbian women out there these days, and the means by which we are recruiting thousands of otherwise law-abiding heterosexual loyalists into our degraded calling, has been revealed. It is airport security scanners. The Peter Tatchell Foundation takes up the story, saying influential far-right US pastor and huge Donald Trump supporter Andrew Isker demands pat-downs at airports as he says that scanners are turning people gay. He ranted that full-body scanners are part of a satanic plot to feminise men and promote homosexuality. If scanners turn people gay, Mr. Tatchell said, Ryanair would be a glitter-soaked gay bar at 30,000 feet. Beam us up, Pastor. What a wackadoodle. But we can only say you're absolutely right there, Peter. Thank you for that article. Remember, in the days to come, and with so much hateful reportage in the Tory newspapers, on opinionated right-wing channels and shock-driven call-in programming, the movement of community radio stations will be more important than ever in providing you with an alternative voice. Be strong, and also check out podcasts and the printed LGBTQIA plus media if you have it near you. And we shall see you next week at the same time on the same channel. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Seemed like a bit of a fit one for this week. That's the cast of Glee. I hope you remember Glee. And Keep Holding On. A lovely song, that
That's
one.
That's a nice rendition, yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a very
always,
nice one.
There's always Glee to pick you up.
There is always Glee, yeah. Always something nice and cheesy. So they covered an awful lot. It's ironic, isn't it, that came out of America and now look what's coming out.
Yeah. So it's kind of sad that new songs aren't going to get covered by them, though. Like, we'll never see some of the new things that have ever got covered.
Unfortunately, a lot of them have, you know, we lost quite a few of the members of the cast, didn't we?
Yeah.
Corey Mentis.
Yeah, there was quite a couple of deaths.
Mentis, something
yeah,
like
Naya
that.
Yeah, Naya Rivera, I think, is a Santana she played, I think.
Yeah, she passed
very
away.
Sad.
Yes. The tall guy with the shaved head. He killed himself, didn't he?
Yes. I can't remember his name.
It was his character's name.
But I don't know his, unfortunately.
Hey, yesterday was quite a monumentous day, as you probably heard there in the news. And it shocked an awful lot of people in the LGBT plus community, including us here as well. I think it's pretty safe to say, isn't it?
Well, tell that by just the number of text messages that was floating back between us all yesterday. Yes. I mean, it was like...
I've never seen anything like it.
It was like,
The news was changing all the time, wasn't it? On the interpretations, and different websites would give it a different spin. I mean, hang them all from the Daily Mail and Express. And
so it's interesting how many that you wouldn't expect are jumping on it too. It's really kind of riled up a lot that traditionally would have been a lot quieter. I suppose as a recap, this all came about because of the Scottish government wanting to challenge certain things, didn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was, but it wasn't. They didn't involve trans people at all. As Terry said in the news, it was people like the LGB Alliance. So, in fact, the Good Law Project mentioned this and said that both sides should be heard in law.
Yeah.
You don't actually need to be a lawyer to know it's important. On our bones, we all know it's impossible for fairness to happen without hearing both sides of the story. Except the Supreme Court forgot.
Forgot, really?
Yeah. They didn't even put them in the ring.
They tried to get in the ring, were excluded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a bad day for democracy, really.
And the case was specifically about trans women with a gender recognition certificate. So the impact of that is now flowing out to what they're now saying are six genders. So you've got a cis female, you've got a trans female with a GRC and a trans female without a GRC, and then you've got the same for the male. So you've got the trans male, you've got the trans male with the GRC and the trans male without the GRC. So that's the categories that they have now. So they've made it more complex.
But they didn't want to have an X in the passport, which might have been a safer place for some people at the time as well.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, This thing that is going on is obviously fallout from Trump. It seems that it was the same with
before
Brexit.
That. It's Brexit. Sorry, it's Brexit. You know, it's been this is the last 10 years now.
And I hate to say it, but there are some very influential people who have really whipped this up. I mean, I'm just reading an article that our lovely friend Joe Rowling basically has nicknamed it Turf VE Day,
which is interesting. You should say that, Andy, because that implies that the TERFs are the Allied forces and that trans women are Nazis. Now, the only real Nazis, actually, are the ones that follow around TERFs, such as Kelly J. Minshall, who calls herself Posy Parker. And indeed, as Tara was saying off mic earlier on, she was kicked out of Australia for the Nazi salutes that were being given at her rally. So it's very disingenuous of Ms. Rowling to put that up on a web feed,
but they don't care.
It's very damaging.
Truth has been lost in this world.
I guess the fear I've got, I'm a therapist, I work with trans people, and the last 2 days people have been terrified,
and I can't say I blame them at all.
And that's where people are at the moment.
It's scary to have that news happen and to not know how to react and where to turn and what's safe anymore for them.
I would be honest, if I was young enough, I'd be out of this country. I would not be.
Well, if we were still in the EU, so would I.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, Spain. I think every trans person in this country would move to Spain.
But then, as we also said, if we were still in the EU, they couldn't have passed that.
Probably not, because the European legal system is enshrined in law, so it would be totally different. And that's what you just alluded to about Brexit being, and now we've got Trump in, which is taking the world even further right.
Well, I can tell you as well, while I've been talking, Trump has also moved to make gender dysphoria no longer a disability protected under the US federal law. So he's stripping back things over there.
I see that Norway is offering American trans people potentially asylum.
Really?
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. Have you heard also that people are trying to escape the US into Canada, and they're being stopped at the border and arrested?
On what grounds?
Not by Canadians, by Americans, Immigration Service stopping them on the grounds that they're going across for nefarious reasons, as in they're saying they're going on holiday, but they're looking, they're taking their phones off them, which they're doing randomly at airports to everybody landing, hence the people holidaying in the States from Europe.
And why would you holiday in the States?
It's plummeting, absolutely plummeting. So
what I would say
down 20% so far.
I think we've all got to kind of like step away from media for a few days and kind of rebalance ourselves.
I think that's difficult because I tried to, but then I see the headlines.
We live in the world.
Pinged.
Yeah,
we live in a world where you're surrounded by it. It's very, very difficult.
But we'd already been kicked in the stomach once with the court case, but then a few hours ago, the Independent released that the British Transport Police are going to be searching trans women with male officers.
You can just see the, you know.
I don't understand how some of this is even policeable.
And also, they're saying now trans women cannot use ladies' loos or dressing rooms.
Yeah, what if you're intersex?
Indeed.
Mm. But that's the media again. It's about, you know, They're trying to extend what has happened in the court to cover everything, to wipe our existence out.
Indeed. So they're jumping the gun, really. Because when you look at the law and what was passed, those judges didn't say anything about this.
Didn't they say in it that it was actually supposed to be beneficial in some, in their weird turn of events? They thought that they was protecting still.
They said they were trying to clarify the issue.
And trans people are still protected under law. And they are still.
Yeah.
But because you've got... I'm trying to not swear here.
Please don't. It'll be the first time in the 10 years we've been doing this together you've ever sworn.
I don't know what to call the woman who runs the EHCR.
Not Faulkner. Very nice.
So we just pretend to have a beep button.
I need to.
I don't know why she's still in the position.
That woman has now jumped and expanded the law, and she's going for the NHS and says she wants all government departments to comply immediately.
It can't.
But she's now saying that trans women cannot use ladies' loos and changing rooms.
I followed because, like a lot of us, because I think we did it with Shout Out as well, when this came out, Bristol Pride were one of the first to post up saying, you know, we're disappointed with this, you know, we're a trans ally, we stand by our trans people in our community, we don't feel this is right, as you'd expect. That's what Bristol Pride is about, just like we are. And I was reading down through the comments, and there was a comment on there from a lady. I won't mention names, but she said, she started saying, you know, I've got loads of LGBT friends, I love them, etc. She said, but I'm quite pleased because as a woman, I now feel I have a protected space. And as you would expect, being something that is LGBT, it's Bristol Pride, there's a lot of people on there that are commenting. What was interesting was, unlike some of the other medias, the comments were genuine and inquiring.
Yeah, why?
And the number of times that someone said back to her, but what is it you were afraid of? What do you think is going to happen? Mm. And she couldn't answer. She didn't answer. She deflected it.
Yeah.
And it was very representative of something I see on all of them. I've yet to see an answer as to what it is they're so scared of.
Yeah.
It is deflection.
They keep saying we need a protected space.
From what? Trans women are not the threat. They've never been the threat.
We're twice as likely to be attacked.
Yeah, than exactly. Women. So yeah. What?
Twice.
Surely the protection should be.
This whole bathroom thing about I might get raped in a toilet. Why on earth would a man want to go and start taking estrogen, have to go through all the effort to look female naturally, start dressing as a woman, start living as a woman, get a gender recognition certificate to go to a toilet and rape someone? Would they not just stay as a man
and rape,
rape someone?
Which they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's the vast majority
so
of it.
I am struggling to understand why it is. And the other thing that really annoys me is how unbalanced it is. They haven't gone after trans men.
And when you ask
them about it, they go, well, they're a woman. It's up to them what they do with their body.
Yeah. They're not seeing them as trans, aren't they? They're immediately being, they're not.
But what do they move on to once they've sorted trans people out? What do they attack next?
But also, if they're going to insist that you use the toilet, and it keeps coming back to toilet, I can't believe that the focus of toilet is ridiculous. But you know, if they're going to insist that when you're in a space, it is of your biological sex. Yeah. What happens if all the trans men go, okay, cool, we'll go?
Yeah. I literally watched a video of that earlier. A trans man who is clearly presenting as a trans man and passing and saying, okay, so you want me to use the female toilet? Okay, really? Yeah. Okay, all right, fine.
Well, you've seen that in the States, haven't you? With trans men with beards and a cowboy hat on and quite big and muscular, walking in ladies' loos, and the women are scared to death.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah, but they're blokes. Legally, he's been told he has to use that toilet. It's a scary place because these people making these decisions have absolutely no clue.
My other question to any woman that's saying this is the right thing to do would be, when they start policing it and they start asking to search you to check you're a woman because perhaps you don't quite look feminine enough in someone's eyes, how are you going to feel?
Well, this point has been raised by a number of commentators, and it affects particularly African-American women. I mean, various sports personalities have had their gender questioned by cisgender white feminists because it doesn't quite fit with what white feminism says a real woman should be. Yeah. So we've had Serena Williams, for example, had her gender questioned, so... It's and who else is there? You know,
well, it's quite scary. You know? There's a woman. She was 6 foot tall, working in Walmart.
Yeah,
she was obviously using ladies' loo because she's cisgendered. And this guy, a customer, walked into the ladies' loo screaming and shouting at her. You're a bloke. Get out. She's a cisgender woman because she was 6 foot two.
Surely that is more scary than a trans woman just going in. In the cubicle, using the loo, washing their hands and leaving again.
Yeah.
You would think so.
The other thing is that in reality, it's such a minority. I've been using ladies' loos for, 25 years?
Well, we know from the...
Never have I had an issue, except people asking where I get my hair done. And
somewhere in Bristol.
Yeah, and also about my makeup. Never have I been attacked, even in queues. Women's loose like
We've got about a minute and a half of show left, so I'm keen that we leave this on a night for those that are scared at the moment. It is a very scary time, and especially if you're younger and thinking about or just starting to transition, this could be quite a horrible thing to be seeing.
It's going to put people back.
You know, what is our advice to them? Because I hope it will get better. I'm sure it will
find
get
community.
Better.
Find community. Yeah. Find community.
National LGBT Plus switchboard available 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Look them up, switchboard.lgbt online. There's a number there you can ring. Again, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I believe Truck Listens from our friends at Trans Radio UK is available every evening. I think it's 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. But just check on their website. Yeah. There's lots of little helplines running around
also
the country
Samaritans. Reach out if you're within our listening area. Obviously, we've got Trans Pride Bristol. Is a big resource, and there's lots of people on there. There's
trans organisations across the country.
Yeah,
of help.
Do not think for 1 minute you're on your own. You are loved and supported, and we love you.
A lot of people disagree with this. A wide range of social media I've seen as well, especially in my younger age range, we do not stand with it. And obviously, that's this community, this radio station. We love you.
That's how it's going to change. The next generation are going to take this down, and the people that have caused this.
And like I said at the top of the show, this will be a day in history that's remembered, and not for the nice things that they think it is. I think.
And this is going to take time.
I think those photos of them walking out cheering will go down in history as the biggest embarrassment we've had since persecution of gay men.
They were very white, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
All white.
Middle class.
They're all white. All
and,
class.
The
have they even met a trans person ever? Kind of want to ask them that question.
I'm not even sure the judges have or did. They certainly didn't let anyone in.
Not during the process.
Not during the process, no. It should make it null and void. It should mean that it can't...
But you know yourself, for other reasons, courts are not perfect either.
No.
The law is an ass.
Well, we will keep you informed, and do keep listening. And the like. But that's it for this week. As I said, if you have been affected by any of the issues highlighted in today's show, do remember you're not alone. We'll make sure we post up some links against the show so that you know where to go get some help. That'll be up on our website.
Head to shoutoutradio.lgbt to find the show and many others. Get in touch too and tell us your thoughts. Studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week,
We're talking to Daddy Spencer.
We are, yes.
Instead of this week.
Yes, instead of this week. So, from myself and the rest of the team, sip a bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.